Well, sometimes our world feels complex and confusing. And we may struggle to make sense of what's going on in our world right now. I mean, it's been a hard week in many ways, looking around the news, right? Places like Sudan, Gaza, Ukraine. There is so much pain. There is hatred we see living out, death around us. And the attempt to comprehend what feels just absolutely incomprehensible can really overwhelm us. And then, of course, we've all got our own things that we're dealing with in our own lives, the challenges and struggles that we're dealing with. And I have to say, this gospel reading just feels like a breath of fresh air in the midst of all this difficulty. It's Jesus, and he just meets us today with a very, very simple message of love. I know I need to hear it. Now, I mentioned previously that when I was just age 3, my dad led me in a very simple but profound prayer. And he asked me whether I wanted to say yes to Jesus and invite Jesus into my heart, into my life. And I remember feeling completely loved by God, and I wanted to return that love in some way. And so without any reservation at age 3, with complete conviction, as much as a 3-year-old can muster, I said yes. And I prayed this simple prayer of invitation to Jesus. And in my young mind, I knew that something momentous had happened. And to this day, I believe that to be true. Even though I now think, as you know, I think we need to say yes to Jesus a lot. Many times in our lives, maybe even daily. You see, sometimes though, the most complex concepts are best explained when we just simplify them to the point that even a 3-year-old can understand them. And I think today's scripture lessons from the New Testament, both in the letter of 1 John and in the gospel, provide answers to questions at a simple, basic level. The question that even a child might ask, who is God? What is God? And John's epistle just gives us this very simple answer. God is love. I think it's perhaps the best answer I can imagine. And then in John chapter 15, Jesus builds on this, and he gives us again another very simple story that even a child could understand, describing God as a vine grower and Jesus as that vine, the true vine. And Jesus has this very simple invitation to just say yes. Abide in me as I abide in you. There's no need to make it complicated. It isn't. The invitation is simple. Just invite him into your heart like the child's prayer, because God is love. God loves you. So this word abide, though, it means to remain in or to hold on to, not to depart or leave. I kind of imagine it like you're clinging on to something and just holding on. And that's the invitation. Just cling, just hold on to Jesus. Abide in him. Don't let go, because he's holding on to you. If we stay grounded and rooted in God's love, according to this text then, that love will take root, and Jesus says we will bear fruit. Again, I like that Jesus uses this tangible, simple symbol, because fruit is something that should be obvious to us. Right? It's something everyone else, you know, knows when they see. It's bright. Fruit is beautiful. Fruit is colorful. Right? The fruits are those deeds of righteousness that are motivated by our love in God. So if you visualize a tree as those branches of the tree, like I mentioned to the kids, needing that water and that nourishment through the trunk, through the vine that they're attached to, we also need that nourishment by being attached to God. And then we have to keep our channels open, right? The veins are open. We don't want to lose out on the nourishment due to some blockage or break or loose connection, because Jesus says then we die and wither. So if we cut ourselves off from this source of life and love, then we too begin to feel dry. We won't bear fruit, and we will eventually wither. But notice that Jesus gives a little bit of a caution here too, in the midst of this. He's encouraging us to bear fruit, and then he says, if you do bear fruit, prepare to be pruned so you can bear more fruit. I don't know if you noticed that, but pruning, maybe not everybody's favorite thing. Pruning could be likened maybe to some challenges, loss, maybe even suffering or trial we experience, something that causes us to be stripped, cut off from those things that we might otherwise rely on instead of God. So in my ministry, I've often had people come to me when something very difficult is going on in their lives, some sort of challenge or trial, maybe a loss, a cutting back in their life. And they've often asked me, what did I do wrong? Or what did I do to deserve this? You know, is God mad at me? And it's interpreted in just a negative way, but I like to remind them that maybe you're being pruned because you are bearing fruit. God loves you and wants you to bear more fruit. Maybe that is what's happening. This week, my husband Mark and I watched this film called Freud's Last Session, if anybody's seen it, about Sigmund Freud. It's based on a fictional play in which it just takes place on one day when Dr. Freud spends the day with C.S. Lewis. And it's just their conversation. And it's at the very beginning of World War II, and it's this backdrop, and you can hear that banter, that conversation between the atheist and the Christian. And Freud is expressing his anger. It's played by Anthony Hopkins, who nails it. And he's just expressing this anger and rage at the pain and the losses of his life at C.S. Lewis, you know, the Christian theologian. And C.S. Lewis, it mostly is just present to him in a lovely way to let him. But he asks this of him. He says, if joy is God's whisper, perhaps pain is God's megaphone. And I like that. Now, I don't think that he's saying, no, do I believe that God just is causing or forcing pain or loss or suffering on us. I believe that God can use those things as an incredible tool in our lives, though. When we are going through a difficult time, God can use that to prune us, to get us to get a little bit of our attention back on God. It enables us to rely more on God, to cling, to abide to our vine, the only true source of life. When I look at the challenges of the last several years, like our pandemic and the reckoning that we've had with racial injustice, the civil strife in our nation, even as I was looking at those protests breaking out around college campuses these last few weeks, it makes me think that we as a country are being made to contend. We are being forced to look at the heartbreaking realities of our world. We can't ignore it. And so as people of faith here in America, God can use this to prune us. The fruit of our faith should be visible, though, right? Fruit is visible. It's calling us then to bear fruit of justice and mercy, to protect the innocent, and to offer our love and service to others. The church has often needed to be pruned in order to bear more fruit. And so I believe that when we are experiencing that in a context of community in Christ, these challenges, these losses, these difficulties can, in fact, spur us on to bear more fruit. And I know pruning is counterintuitive, right? Like, if you've ever had to really prune something, it's like, ooh, it's painful. I remember I thought I over-pruned this beautiful pink rose bush once. And I pruned it, and it just felt like, what have I done? I was kind of new with roses. It came back with 20 times more roses, you know, than in the season. And it just bounced back. And I truly believe that when God prunes us, when God prunes you, you too will bear more fruit. You too are going to come back and experience that new life and new strength and faith in Christ. When we abide in Christ, then we are opening ourselves to this life-giving love, that nourishment, like I told the children, that God provides. In essence, it is just that simple, yes. To just saying yes to whatever God has for you. Cling to Jesus and say yes. Be surrounded, like we talked about, by God's family. Delve into Scripture. Pray. Be a part of this family tree of God. Take communion weekly. That is part of how we abide in the vine. And I just to get a little bit, like, if we think about it biologically for a minute and how this could work. If you think about, of course, when we drink wine or grape juice, right, what was once a grape becomes literally part of our body in many ways, right? Because the grape has to be changed into these smaller molecules of nutrients that we absorb into our blood and gets carried to our cells throughout our body. The grape is nourishing our cells and providing us with energy and life in a literal way. And spiritually speaking, then, the Eucharist, Jesus' body and blood, the bread and wine, is also becoming one with us, is nourishing us and being transformed as well into our own spiritual life and energy. Just as the physical nourishment is necessary to our lives, so is spiritual food necessary if we are going to thrive as branches on the vine. So when I was little, after I said that prayer, I said that yes to Jesus, I remember being invited to take communion. And I realized, even at that young age, that the communion was an extension of that prayer to say yes to Jesus. And I realized that, oh, I actually understood something at three, because that's true. I went through seminary, and basically that's it. That's the essence. Communion is another way to say yes to Jesus. Yes, abide in and with me. I will abide in and with you, the true vine. What word do we say when you're handed the bread or given the wine? The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. What do you say?
Amen.
Amen. And what does amen mean? It's an affirmation, right? Like, yes. It means, it's a Hebrew word. One way we could just translate it is just, it's like saying yes, right? Yes. So when you come up and you get communion, say that amen like you mean it. Say yes to Jesus. Because you are the branches. And you have been invited to abide with God and his son Jesus, the true vine. And if you are experiencing some pruning, just remember God is love. And will get you through it, and you will bear fruit again. So come to the banqueting table, feast and be nourished by the one who loves you. Amen.